How can we know if the Holy Spirit is at work in the church? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host and study guide author, as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. My conversation partners are Jen Ogden, Associate Pastor of the Walla Walla University Church, and Paul Dibdall of the Walla Walla University School of Theology. All right, the question, how can we tell if the Holy Spirit is at work in the church?
I think of a couple of Bible passages maybe to quote that might, or paraphrase that might fit here. Jesus said in John to his disciples that the identifying mark that they were his followers would be love. Mm-hmm. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another.
Okay, where can you find a church where that's practiced? Yeah.
There's a church just very close to where we're speaking where I have experienced that.
You have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're asking about perfectly, all the time, in every person, no. Yeah. But where there is an atmosphere, a pervading atmosphere of love, absolutely, I've mm-hmm. experienced yeah. that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And for those of you who have a hard time understanding parables, that's in the university church.
Yeah.
Where Jen is one of our pastors.
That's my home church, and it's been meaningful to me in mm-hmm. ways that I would not be able to describe in words over yeah. the course of my lifetime. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the other transcending markers of a church that is being guided by the Holy Spirit and worked on by the Holy Spirit is a evidence of transformed lives. People who are not what they once were and who are, have, the trajectory of them has changed to a different trajectory. I think it's amazing to see what God is doing when a group of people says we are busy about our Father's work as Jesus yeah. was, and we see lives being changed because of that.
Yeah. Now, a harder question. Well, let me back up first and say that John Brunt loves the book of Philippians. In fact, he's memorized it. Of all Paul's churches, that's the one that seemed to be, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know. But Paul also had another church, the church at Corinth. Was the Spirit at work in Corinth?
That's a trick question because I think the Holy Spirit is always and everywhere at work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the Holy Spirit was at work in Corinth. I think we make the job tougher on the Spirit in some places maybe than others. But, yes, the Spirit was at work mm-hmm. in Corinth.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines is a strange way to take courage. But, when I get discouraged about the church, our church or any church, my line is, God's people have never had their act together for more than a few minutes at a time.
Mm.
Pentecost, just a few chapters, and they're quarreling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, there is a phrase which we find, talking about the church, it's union with Christ. Paul declares it's through Christ that the Spirit unites us, yet it is the Spirit that is the agent. Let me read that passage. Ephesians 2, 18-22, NIV. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So this quarter we're talking about the Spirit.
Hmm.
In Christ, in the Spirit, how do we unpack that one? Can we label it, pull them out there, or is it like ice cream where you can't sort out the constituent elements?
Separating out what elements are you thinking of here?
Well, I'm thinking here of Christ doing it or the Spirit doing it. It becomes a holy temple and so on. that's, again, a place where I say I don't know that the distinctions are that helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if we were to separate it out, what would we have accomplished? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I would say I don't know that we can or that we would need to separate those things out.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another image which is given here, and it's a fairly important one. 1 Corinthians 12, the image of the body. And again, let me read a couple of verses here from 1 Corinthians 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. What does the image of the body do when we're talking about individual bits and pieces as over against the whole?
I think this is actually one of my favorite pictures of the Holy Spirit's work. Is the empowering of the Spirit to realize the value in the other, right? Whether it's in the building of a temple or it's in the picture of a body, it's God's Spirit that enables me to realize that the other people who are with me in this journey of pursuing Christ and of becoming Christ-like are valuable and they have merit. And it's that Christ dwelling in me and me dwelling in Christ that we've talked about, and the Spirit awareness that helps me realize others' value, that without the empowering of the Spirit, I think I would miss. I think I would forget that I need other people desperately to make a whole picture. I can't do this alone and wouldn't want to, but I think it's one of my favorite pictures, is that the Spirit enables me to realize the value of other.
Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the things, I even wrote a column once, I think, for Signs of the Times, God's Children. We tend to give a preference for children who are still young. But everyone is still a child of God. And I don't care how ancient your kids are, you always have a special interest in your kids. And I think of some of our colleagues, Paul, who have lost family members, children. You never forget. Now, there's one of the things that the Spirit does, and that's the role of the Word of God as it plays part in the life of the church. Acts 17:11 indicates that the study of the Word of God was crucial for the believers whenever they heard the apostles preach. They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That's the NIV. Now, that introduces an interesting element. Should we withhold judgment until we have studied it out? Or when we worship, should we just bury our critical facilities and simply say a hearty amen and get on with it?
It's not either or, is it? I mean, there's a sense in which in any group, no two people feel exactly the same about every issue.
So, or about every sermon.
Or about every sermon. So there's always going to be differences. We can't constantly be bringing those up and pointing those out and trying to, you know, a family can't stay together. A church can't stay together. Body can't stay together functioning if every part is fighting against every other part. But that doesn't mean we simply check our, you know, our minds at the door, so to speak. So it's both, Alden, doesn't it? I think so. It has to be both.
Yeah.
Some kind of balance between those two. Critical thought, examination, staying true to conscience, and yet also realizing that not every point is something that we have to fight over.
Yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth repeatedly in Scripture, and I think it's important to remember that as we're searching for truth, we don't always have it all together, and it's, you know, we're on a journey towards truth, and the Spirit is going to lead us to that, but it's not a final conclusion, and we're all on different parts of the understanding of God, and see Him from different angles and understand Him differently because of our context and our worldview and our culture and all of that. So while the Spirit is working amongst us and revealing truth to us, And we must remember that we're not all exactly at the same spot, and that's okay.
And that's even perhaps crucial for ministers. And reading the scripture, you know, we tend to think, well, I think of a line in Ellen White's Introduction to Great Controversy where she's talking about the Bible writers. She said, men who varied greatly in mental and spiritual endowments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on to say that some of the writers did not speak with as clarity as much as others. See? But, you know, it's very interesting to see that sometimes, I remember one of our teachers, Sakai Kubo, who was dean here, a wonderful man, he told of going to help a pastor when he was back at Andrews University, going down to South Bend. Pastor had invited him down because there was a question that a man had that he was giving Bible studies to. And so Dr. Kubo went in there and answered the question, and the pastor sensed, you know how people nod and smile when they don't really
understand?
Don't really understand. And so he sensed that it didn't, that he hadn't scored. And so the pastor stepped in and gave an explanation. And the fellow said, oh, now I see.
Mm.
And Kubo told us, you know, the answer that the pastor gave didn't make any sense to him. But it worked for this guy. And if you have people who have crooked logic, the best way to reach them is through crooked logic. See? And that's why we have to be very careful that we don't put God on trial in words, logic, and rhetoric in Scripture, because he's trying to meet all kinds of people with all kinds of background.
Mm-hmm.
So, can we tell what it looks like when the Spirit unites the church?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like we can sense that. I'm trying to think of how we would describe that exactly in words. But in any organization, I think you can sense when there is a kind of cohesiveness, a kind of unity that is there. In spite of the diversity present, we can feel that kind of energy, that momentum that comes.
Craig Groeschel has a book called It, and he says that when you have it, you know it. He's talking about kind of this synergy that comes when there's a unity within a church.
Mm-hmm. I think people long to be part of a group like that. I think that's a great, God created us with that great longing. Sense of belonging, cohesiveness, support, all of those things that are a church, a good church led by the Spirit should experience.
That's the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next week we turn to another topic, the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer. Jen and Paul will be my guests again. My thanks to each of you for listening in, and to Jared Miller, our program engineer. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.